When my grandmother was in elementary school, she won an award for penmanship. She likely had stiff competition. The handwriting teacher would rap student knuckles with a ruler when O's weren't precisely round, when V's weren't precisely pointy. Ponder what reaction that handwriting teacher would have had to a recent front-page newspaper article about deteriorating student behavior in public schools. Profanity, violence, disrespect. Had this happened in her classroom back then, it's clear that more than knuckles would have been rapped. Teachers wield red pens, not rulers, as punishment for handwriting errors these days, but they're charged with the same overarching duty in the classroom, discipline. In Illinois, it's a law that teachers and other school administrators shall maintain discipline in the schools. The statute gives those in charge the right to use reasonable force to remove a student if necessary, and the right to remove a child from a classroom for disruptive behavior. But no slapping, paddling, prolonged maintenance of students in physically painful positions, or intentional infliction of bodily harm, please. The duty of discipline has become a tougher job over the years. Many students long ago quaked with fear if their handwriting wasn't just so. Now, the newspaper story reported, many students see an order from a teacher as debatable. Two things remain the same, however. One, the need for school discipline. A look at the early cases from the law books proves that it's always been an issue. Two, courts are consistently reluctant to intrude upon the disciplinary decisions of school districts, as one court wrote recently, because teachers know much more about appropriate punishment in school discipline cases than black robe judges. And those wearing the robes in Illinois have recognized this since before my grandmother's time. In a case from 1890, for example, the court upheld an insolent student's expulsion after he'd refused to say who had painted profanity on school walls and then used profanity himself during the school board investigation. The court found the student's outrageous breach of decorum worthy of such punishment and held that the timely and prompt correction of a few turbulent spirits may be absolutely necessary to prevent the further spread of misrule. An Illinois court in 1883 also sided with teachers when the school had expelled a girl for failing to explain a two-week absence. Good order can only be maintained by enforcing discipline, the court wrote. In 1913, a state court found it proper to expel a student for membership in a secret fraternity. And in 1880, after a school expelled a student for studying during daily 15-minute Bible readings, the court sided with school administrators. It was only in a case from 1903 involving two whippings on one Naperville student for undefined misbehavior and disobedience that an Illinois court sided somewhat in favor of the student. A jury had found the defendant teacher not guilty of battery, but the court, way before other parents decided to make a federal case out of school beatings, returned for better jury instructions. And my grandmother's penmanship teacher would be pleased. In 1898, the Illinois Supreme Court explicitly mentioned penmanship and discipline in the same case. But the facts didn't involve ruler rapping. Instead, justices tackled the eternal question, what time is the right time to require of students a new penmanship text? No word of the teacher's manual included a hickory stick.